From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. A popular weed killer has long been at the center of a heated debate about whether a key ingredient causes cancer. More than 100,000 lawsuits have been filed against the maker of Roundup, Monsanto, which is now owned by Bayer, and its use of glyphosate. The company disputes the claim that the herbicide causes non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and the EPA, a federal agency, has approved its use without a cancer warning label. But state courts have sided with users, notably awarding a Missouri man more than $1 million in damages after developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma following decades of Roundup use. That specific case has made its way to the Supreme Court. The justices heard oral arguments yesterday about who decides the warning labels on chemicals, the federal government or the state. And the ruling, expected by June, can impact the wave of lawsuits against Roundup. This tension has reached an inflection point with the Trump administration. President Trump supports the use of glyphosate and recently signed an executive order boosting its production and providing manufacturers with legal immunity, which is at odds with the MAHA movement, Make America Healthy Again. As all of this is unfolding, a new investigation hones in on California and the widespread use of this controversial weed killer across forests ravaged by wildfires. From Lassen to Yosemite and Tahoe. Nate Halverson is a senior reporter and producer for the radio show and podcast Reveal and joins us with his investigation. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
So this is pretty personal to you, and you lead with this right at the top of your investigation. Take us back to when you started looking into this.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not just an investigative journalist. I'm also an avid mushroom forager. I love getting up into the mountains, whether it's the Southern Cascades or the Sierra, and finding morels. And so, you know, several years ago, I began noticing that there were these places in the forest where nothing was regrowing, where everything remained dead on the forest floor. And it's just sort of tickling the back of my brain. And it wasn't until the Park Fire in 2024, which burned about 500,000 acres, and the Forest Service sent me a letter saying they were going to do all this great work to rehab and prevent future fires. But in there was the word herbicides, and they said they planned to spray herbicides. And I looked deeper, and it turned out what they planned to spray was glyphosate, the key ingredient in Roundup. And so I began thinking, all of these other places where I'd seen that nothing was growing, were others also spraying Roundup on the forest floors? And that launched me on one of these deep investigative dives over the last, I guess now it's been a year, where working with data reporter Melissa Lewis, we pulled every single commercial use of glyphosate that has to be registered with the state, which is over 5 million records going back 30 years, so that we could see all of the times that anyone commercially had sprayed Roundup. And what we were able to determine was that spraying California's forests with Roundup is the fastest growing use of glyphosate in the state. It is actually nearly quintupled in the last 20 years. And while overall use of Roundup in the state and glyphosate has actually been slightly decreasing, with considering now there's over $12 billion, I think the Wall Street Journal just said $22 billion in lawsuits and settlements. Considering that, farmers and others have stopped using it as much, but the Forest Service and timber companies are rapidly accelerating their uses in what are some of the most environmentally sensitive places in the state.
Right. Because of the wave of lawsuits, the maker, Monsanto, owned by Bayer, they don't use glyphosate in the residential products of Roundup or garden products. But as you laid out, it is still used commercially in the agricultural market. Just remind us, what does spraying Roundup actually do?
Yeah, so plants have the shikimate pathway that humans don't have, and it essentially blocks this protein, and it kills plants. And the idea was that since humans don't have this shikimate pathway, that it wasn't harmful to us. And it kills plants. So basically, beginning in the late 1990s with GMO crops that are considered Roundup ready, which just means that they've been genetically modified to not be killed by Roundup, they started planting corn and soy and other crops, and they could spray Roundup and it would kill every single plant but the crop. And so the use of Roundup absolutely shot through the roof starting in the late 1990s, and it became the most commonly used herbicide in the world. And that's kind of where people thought it was being used. Very critically, and very controversially, some people say, say it's okay, and the World Health Organization says it's a probable carcinogen. The EPA said it didn't cause cancer. Although I think it's worth noting that actually they got sued for saying that, and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals overturned the EPA's decision, saying that most of the evidence that the EPA had looked at actually indicated some level of connection to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And so I think it's important to note that the EPA's decision was actually overturned.
Why has this been growing in the timber industry?
Because it's a very cost-effective way to kill everything on the ground after logging or after these mega fires that have been increasing in the state. And by killing everything on the ground, you're able to replant the trees, the conifers that they want to harvest in 60 or so years. And by killing everything on the ground, except these conifers, you're allowing these little baby trees to have access to all the sunlight, all the soil nutrients, all of the moisture. And so they grow faster and they grow denser. But it's worth noting this, especially when talking about this density issue, is that part of the reason that a growing amount of peer-reviewed independent science is saying that we're having these mega fires is because we have these large timber plantations of high-density conifers. And these are the most flammable trees versus, stands of birch or aspen, the hardwoods, which are shown to actually slow down these mega fires. So we're actually using Roundup to recreate the conditions that have resulted in the mega fires that we're now dealing with. And so, yeah, people will point to climate change, but you also have to understand that underlying many of these mega fires are land use decisions that are now being perpetuated with the use of what every year now, for the last, I think, 7 or 8 years, records show is a record amount. Every year it increases, and every year it's a record amount of glyphosate that's being sprayed in the forest lands of California.
And is it just across federal lands in California, or are there state agencies also using glyphosate?
Yes. So it's across, the largest landowner in California is a private timber company, Sierra Pacific Industries. They're right now the second largest user of glyphosate in the entire state. That includes farmers. Sierra Pacific is the second largest user. The feds are using it. They're planning to spray it around the fires in Lassen National Forest. And I think this is important, but they're also planning on spraying seven times as much around Tahoe. And matter of fact, their plans to spray in Tahoe this year and into next would be as much spraying as happened in the forests of California in all of 2023. And so it's a massive project that they're planning to spray with Roundup at the base of ski resorts, in campgrounds, on trailheads, in the Tahoe area. And it's also state forest land also. CAL FIRE has also approved its use. And Governor Gavin Newsom actually signed an executive order last year. That removed the protections, the environmental protection process for spraying, so that they could move forward faster using herbicides like Roundup in the forests of California.
Some people might be surprised by that because Governor Newsom often is at odds with the Trump administration, but it seems like there's actually some kind of commonality when it comes to the use of glyphosate.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, California legislature had passed a law that would have allowed counties to prohibit the state from spraying in their counties, and Newsom vetoed that law. And you're right, the Trump administration has also come down very pro glyphosate. He also has put forward an executive order citing an old 1950s law to help shield glyphosate's manufacturer from lawsuits and also increase domestic production, while at the same time putting another executive order forward to increase harvesting of trees on our national forests by 25%, which itself would then result in more use of Roundup under this current, strategies of the Forest Service. So, yeah, Newsom and Trump are aligned on this one. But what's interesting is the people that are aligned against the use of Roundup are also bipartisan. So yesterday, in front of the Supreme Court, which was hearing the case, you had Democrats from the House and the Senate and Republicans also standing side by side, saying that the Supreme Court should not give immunity to the companies that manufacture these herbicides.
Yeah, I mean, your investigation, it aired on Sunday and it's published in Mother Jones. You have a companion piece of a documentary as well. And this was, on the eve or even on that day of the Supreme Court hearing, which was yesterday. And we're going to play some of the interviews that you shared, because one of the questions that comes up in your reporting is whether the Forest Service really needs to use glyphosate to reforest these areas after fire. And that question leads you to speak with Craig Thomas. He runs the nonprofit Fire Restoration Group. He has joined Insight in the past and is just well-versed in fire management techniques. And you ask him this point blank.
Do they need glyphosate to reforest this?
No. It's damaging to people. It's damaging to biodiversity. And the system operated for thousands of years without it.
When you see how much herbicide they're using, plan to use right around here, what's your reaction?
Well, my reaction is that Smokey's got a very deadly, serious chemical addiction. And I really mean that. They're addicted to herbicide use and glyphosate. And we need to get them into rehab.
Are there any alternatives out there from Craig's perspective or people that you've spoken with, like a herbicide that's actually like okay to use in their view?
I don't think folks like Craig want to see any herbicides use. And I'll point to the province of Quebec, Canada, which is one of the largest timber producers in North America, produces an incredible amount of timber and lumber. They outlawed glyphosate and herbicides a quarter of a century ago. And they're still producing all of that timber, and they're doing it profitably. It does cost more to do it without herbicides, but what the Canadian studies have shown is that it creates more jobs for these logging towns, that were hurt so much by environmental pushback to protect old growth forests and the spotted owl. Those small logging towns really got hit hard. Their economies got hit hard. People up there really paid the sacrifice for those environmental movements. And now, instead of spraying Roundup and glyphosate, those companies could be paying people up there to go in and do the work that the herbicides do.
In your reporting, you also talk to some people just like yourself. They live near these areas that are being proposed to be sprayed with glyphosate. And one of those is Joe Van Meter and his wife. They own and operate a camping ground called the Mill Creek Resort in Lassen National Forest. And they're concerned about the health risk that glyphosate could pose to his customers as well as his family.
This little stream right here that runs through our property is fed from a spring just up the hill, probably about a couple hundred yards away, that is the water source for our whole community. So the resort and the 100 plus homes that are here in Mill Creek. I've got great concerns about the use of herbicide anywhere near water. I mean, there's no need for it on our hillsides, near community water springs, near water springs that flow into pristine waterways like Mill Creek. There's no need for it at all.
Yeah, so that concern is laid out pretty well by Joe, but he also goes on to tell you that he supports the work being done, of course, to mitigate fire risk, especially since his property narrowly survived both the 2021 Dixie Fire and the 2024 Park Fire.
They have a huge fuels reduction program, which is great. If you see the landscape in this area, they've had crews in there that are thinning out larger trees along some of the roads and corridors that we have so that they actually have a chance to fight these fires moving forward into the future. All of that is 100% needed. And we see the people that are doing this work are dedicated and passionate about what they do. We need work to be done. And so I want to see that work done, but I want to see it done without the use of toxic chemicals.
What kind of options do residents like Joe have? They don't want it to happen. I mean, who do they take those concerns to?
Yeah, Joe and his neighbors took those concerns to the U.S. Forest Service. And the U.S. Forest Service mostly ignored them. They agreed to roll back spraying by about 2%, but mostly ignored them and are going to move forward with the plan. And just to underscore Joe's concerns here, if you look at, you know, the studies that come out of glyphosate manufacturers, they'll tell you that when you spray it, it stays put. But here's the reality is that the USGS did a survey not just a few years back and found glyphosate in 75% of the waterways they tested. And the CDC did sampling of Americans' urine and found it in 80% of the urine they sampled. And to the point of Joe being concerned about the waterway, that is, Mill Creek is one of three waterways in California that are considered absolutely pristine, the most pristine waterways. It's one of, I think, three remaining spring Chinook runs in the state. Salmon literally swim from where I am in San Francisco up the Golden Gate, past Sacramento, all the way up to Red Bluff, take a hard right and swim 5,000 feet up the mountain. And numerous peer-reviewed studies have shown that glyphosate is harmful for young fish development. And so you have a threatened species that's now, you know, only in three waterways, pristine waterways, and this is the area that they're talking about spraying glyphosate. So Joe and others are really concerned.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with reporter Nate Halverson about his investigation into the widespread use of glyphosate, a key ingredient in the controversial weed killer Roundup across California forests ravaged by wildfire. When it comes to proponents of the use of glyphosate, I mean, there is, of course, the Trump administration. You mentioned Governor Newsom as well has kind of removed roadblocks for its use from companies to Sierra Pacific, the American Farm Federation, the Forest Service. Were you able to get any of these entities on record with an interview? Like, what did you learn from them in this process?
Yeah, I reached out, you know, of course, to the U.S. Forest Service and the local district ranger up there, who's the decision maker and is planning on spraying it on 10,000 acres, sat down with me. But he is one of the people that the Forest Service, ultimately the USDA, has said it's okay to use. So I reached out to Tom Schultz, the head of the Forest Service, and they declined. You know, they basically said they stand behind the government's, quote, gold standard science. Keep in mind, they're referring to the EPA decision that was overturned by the Ninth Circuit. And also, it's important to know that, you know, as in our investigation, one of the things that we show is that the Forest Service's number one most cited peer-reviewed journal article as to why this is okay has now been retracted because internal emails from Monsanto itself showed that employees ghostwrote it, that this was a secret plan orchestrated by Monsanto to push back against increasing concerns around their product causing cancer. And so they basically said, we're going to hire outside scientists who will pretend to be independent. But as they use the word ghostwrite, they will ghostwrite these. And then they will point to those and saying, look, even independent scientists say this is safe. And that's now all coming out. And the five of the top seven peer-reviewed journal articles that the Forest Service relied on were part of this Monsanto orchestration.
Hmm. How pivotal do you think this Supreme Court decision will be? The justices are expected to issue, you know, their decision in the summer, in June.
Well, look, if the World Health Organization and other science turns out to be right, that this is probably causing people's cancer, and the Supreme Court says that people cannot sue in state courts, it would mean that people that were getting sick won't be able to get any help from the company that they're saying made them sick. And keep in mind, People have won those lawsuits. The first one was here in the Bay Area. Dwayne Lee Johnson was awarded $250+ million by a jury. And Monsanto took that all the way to the state appellate system. And the appellate court said, no, the jury found correctly. In fact, part of what they said that both Monsanto acted with, quote, malice. And that part of it was that Monsanto had dummied up these false science reports to hoodwink the public. So it's important to understand that the Supreme Court will be taking a lot of power out of Americans' hands to seek remedy and justice.
Nate Halverson is a senior reporter and producer for the radio show and podcast Reveal. Thanks so much for sharing your investigation with us, Nate.
Thank you, Vicky, so much for having me on.
We've been discussing his reporting into the widespread use of glyphosate, the key ingredient in the controversial weed killer Roundup, across forests ravaged by wildfire from Lassen to Yosemite and Tahoe. Up next, for decades, a North State lab has been dedicated to solving the mysteries of human remains, from wildfires to the battlefields of World War II. We'll learn about Chico State's Human Identification Lab. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.